If you have a copy of God's Word, I'm checking that. Yes, working. Turn to John 14. This is a read a couple of verses here before we start the message this morning. As you live your Christian life, today there's many, as Brother Dave mentioned, there's many religions, many different beliefs. But we all have one authority, and that's the Word of God. If it's not, thus said the Lord, you don't have to believe it. Jesus, who is the prophet and priest and king of the church, the head of the church, says in John 14, begin reading at verse 20, at that day you should know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. May we pray. Gracious Father, may you bless your word to our hearts, open up our minds and understanding to see the glory of God in Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. How do you know that you're a Christian? How do you know if you are a believer? James says the devil believes and trembles. You can believe all the things in the Bible and still not be a Christian. You can have a head knowledge. Christ gave, I believe, the evidence here. And we sing that song, Oh, How I Love Jesus. Well, what's the test for our love to Jesus Christ? Christ said, He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. So if we are loving the Lord Jesus Christ, we are keeping his commandments. Now, that don't mean that we're going to be perfect. None of us will be perfect. But it means your ordinary walk of life is one of obedience, not disobedience. If a person lives his whole life in a walk of disobedience and says, oh, I believe in Christ, but the evidence is he doesn't really love the Lord because he doesn't keep his commandments. Now, Jesus is one teaching here. And love goes all throughout the Scriptures, as we're going to see this morning. In the book of Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17, the theme this morning would be to love one another. Love one another. We as a body of Christ, local church, Mount Zion, our responsibility as members is to love one another. Paul says in Ephesians 3:17 that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love. Rooted and grounded in love. What's the foundation that builds a church? The love of God, which is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And in Colossians 2:2, he says that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love. Knit together in love. And into all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledging of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ. So we see the importance of love as we go through this step by step. I hope you come to see it more and more. I mentioned this a few years ago. I think I preached this about 20 years ago, actually. But the Holy Spirit impressed it. If you go through, read the four Gospels over and over, love one another, love one another, love one another. And we're going to go through a few of those verses this morning. Jesus said in John 13:34, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. Now that's the commandment. We are commanded by our Master that we love each other. Love one another. As I have loved you. Now, boy, that really puts the test. You're to love each other the same way I've loved you. Now, how did he love us? He sacrificed himself for us. So we should be willing as members of a congregation, members of each other, to love one another by sacrificing our time, sacrificing our abilities, going out of the way to encourage or strengthen another brother or sister in the Lord. That's why we have a body of Christ. We are members particular. He says in John 15:12, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." He emphasizes it again. This is my commandment, that you love one another. Now the Holy Spirit is impressing that upon our hearts. John 15:17. "These things I command you, that you love one another." Now, by now, you come to the place and then the Lord is really trying to get this across to our thick skulls, that we are to love one another. And then in Romans 13:8, Paul says, "Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law." Paul says in 1 John 4:9, "But as touching brotherly love, you need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to" what? "To love one another." God teaches us, one of the first things, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts, that we can do what? That we can love one another, Brother Dave. Love one another. Not hate one another, not condemn each other, not find fault with each other, but to love one another. 1 Peter 1:22, "Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth," that sanctification by the word is what that means there. We are sanctified. Christ says, "Sanctify them that truth. Thy word is truth." So as you read the word of God in your daily devotion, you are being set apart and sanctified by the Word of God in your life. That's why it's so important to read the Word of God daily, because we need cleansing and sanctification daily in our lives. "Seeing that you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren," or real, sincere, and one translator translated it, heartfelt love. If the love that you have doesn't come from your heart, it doesn't mean anything. No, it's easy to say, "Oh, I love you, Brother Dave. I love you, Bill. I love you, Brother Roger. I love you, Sister Mabel. I love you, Sister Denise." It's easy to say that, but it has to come from the heart. It's heartfelt love. It's an emotion that God puts in us that moves to action. For God so loved, He gave. And if we really love one another, we are concerned for each other, and we want to help each other in our lives. What should be the motive of pastors and ministers to the congregation is to share Christ and to share the things of God because of the love the pastor should have for the sheep. It's a grave responsibility to be a pastor. We need to pray much for Brother Dave. One day we'll have to give an account to the great shepherd of the sheep, of how we shepherd the sheep. So this is, you think that I don't want to be in that position, because it is an awesome position to be in. So pray for Brother Dave as he's the pastor, and Roger and I as we assist him in the ministry here at Mount Zion. First John 3:11 says, "For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another," over and over and over. And he says in 3:23, "And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son," and what follows after believing? Jesus Christ, "and love one another as he gave us commandments." Belief comes, and then we're to love one another. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, now I know I emphasize this very, lately I've emphasized this over and over. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, the evidence of your love for the Lord is to follow Him. If you're not baptized, and be baptized in the local church, that is proving your evidence of your love for the Lord. How can you say, "I love Jesus," when you will not submit to His commandment? It's not my commandment. It's not Dave's commandment. It's not Roger's commandment. This is the Lord's commandment. And you say you believe in Him, you say you love Him, but you refuse to obey Him and be baptized, you don't love Him. I hate to be so plain, but beloved, you have to face reality. If you really believe in the Lord and you really love Him, there is no option for a believer. You must obey the Lord. The Lord Jesus comes first before father, before mother, before children, before wives, before anything, and even yourself. You must put the Lord first. Because this is an evidence of what? That we love the Lord Jesus Christ. What did He say? If you love me, keep my commandments. What is His first commandment? That we love one another. And He taught in the Great Commission to be baptized, join His assembly, and worship God's people, where you can love and be loved and serve God until He comes in His second coming, and we'll be caught up together to be with the Lord. And beloved, you and I as believers who've already been baptized, we are to continue obeying the Lord by His Holy Spirit and loving one another in the house of God. You know, when you learn to love one another in the house of God, we learn to know how to love others also. It don't stop at the house of God. It goes to our families. It goes to our friends. It goes to our loved ones who are lost. We're to love them with compassion like the Lord did. 1 John 4:7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. What's one of the evidences that we're born again? That we are born again, that we love one another. You can know that you passed death into life if you have love one to another. Love is so important, that heartfelt love in our hearts and souls for each other. One that loveth is born or has been born of God and knoweth God. 1 John 4:11 says, Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. These are very searching verses. A couple more. 1 John 4:12, No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and His love is perfected in us. How can we know that God dwells in us? If we love one another. How can I know that I'm a child of God? Do you love the children of God? How can I know that I'm a child of God? Are we obeying the commandments of God? So simple. Doesn't take a PhD to figure this out. Beloved, true love will be seen in actions. That's like a wife saying she loves her husband, but he comes home from a hard day's work. She never prepares dinner for him. She never cooks. She hadn't cleaned the house. She doesn't do anything. She doesn't appreciate him when he comes home. Well, how strong is that love? See, it's got to be seen. Love that's not in action, love that has no action with it, is a dead faith and a dead love. Love is an action word. It has to be seen. And 2 John 1:5, he says, And now beseech thee, lady, not as though I were a new commandment unto thee, but that which had been from the beginning, that we love one another. Now, I believe that the Holy Spirit penned all of these verses in love to get across to you and I that we have a commandment that we are to love one another and take that seriously. We should ask ourselves, how can I love the members of Mount Zion? What is my responsibility to my brothers and sisters in the Lord? And we each one need to face that responsibility because it is a grave responsibility. One of the first things God teaches us is love. In Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. Love is the first thing. Joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. So, beloved, love is the first lesson that we learn as Christians. We're the fruit of the Spirit. And we're taught of God to love one another. As I said earlier, Paul says, but as touching brotherly love, you have no need that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. The Holy Spirit sheds abroad in our hearts the love of God, and He teaches us through His Word and through the preaching of the Word and through that heartfelt love we have to love one another. This is one of our greatest needs in the churches to God, is to love one another. You know, we can meet. The sad thing today in most churches, I heard this in a sermon where it says, churches today have got away from having afternoon services. They don't have Wednesday night services anymore. They meet once a week. And that is sad. Because we need the fellowship. We need the bonding together coming more often, especially as you see that day approaching. We need to get back to that time where we have fellowship one with another more often. It's easy to get complacent. You know, we could almost go to the churches, no church on Sunday night, no church on Wednesdays or Thursday night. If you're not careful, we'll have no church on Sunday. We get complacent. Now, I say this for us to pray about. We need to pray about those things. Lord, should we meet more often? Should we meet on Wednesday evenings? Maybe when Brother Dave retires, we can go back to that and have more services where you need that. You need that energy in the middle of the week. You need a shot from the Word of God to encourage us, to encourage us, to strengthen us. We need each other. We need the fellowship, beloved. These are just some things that's been on my mind, and I just wanted to share that with you to pray about. We need so much to pray about. And he says in 2 Thessalonians 3:5, "And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ." If we love Christ, we're waiting for what? We're waiting for His second coming. We quote this verse, probably one of the main verses in Ephesians, "According as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy," and notice the last part of that, "and without blame before Him in love." The emphasis is, in loving, we need to be without blame. If you love one another, you fulfill the law, Paul said. Oh, beloved, how much we need to be more concerned for one another and concerned for each other. First John 4:19, we read this verse. "We love Him because He first loved us. To God be all the glory." If you have any love in your heart this morning for the Lord, it's because He first loved you. Be grateful. Be grateful. I was thinking this week on the love of the Father. You know, Jesus professed and proclaimed He was the Son of God. He was the same nature of the same essence as God the Father. And because of that, the Jews wanted to stone Him and kill Him. It cost Him to confess that He was the Son of God. Now, you and I are sons of God. What a great privilege, Brother Roger, that is, to be called the sons of God. Now, we're sons of God by adoption. We can call God our Father. What a privilege that is. To be able to pray to our Father in heaven, who is the true and living God, as Paul says in his epistles. He's the true and living God. Father. When you're going through a trial or something really is working on you, it could be a problem, it could be one of your children, it could be a family member, it could be cancer, and we have the privilege to go to the throne of grace and say, "Father, please help." Do we really realize what a privilege that is? That we can call God Father. Father. Jesus spent whole nights in prayer, praying to His Father, to His Father. There's an illustration on love. Now, this is the hard part of love. Now, it shouldn't be no problem for us to love one another in the relationship of a church. Sometimes there can be personality differences. There can be this difference or this difference. It can cause divisions. A lot of churches split over so many foolish things. But here is where love really comes to the test. Can you love your enemy? Now we're coming down to you really need the grace of God and you need the love of God shed abroad in your heart. Jesus says, "But I say unto you," Matthew 5:44, "but I say unto you, love your enemies." Now that takes the grace of God. "Bless them that curse you." Don't curse them back. Bless them. Now this is where you'll find out whether you've got the real thing or not. Whether you're truly born again, you truly have the love of God in your heart. And I don't mean you're going to be perfect in every circumstance. Sometimes we can lose it, if you know what I'm saying. But we can always go back and say, "I'm sorry. I shouldn't have got upset. And that's hard to do, but that teaches us humility. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. Now, I don't know. If we know someone personally hates us, to do good to them. The only way to do that is to have the grace of God in you. It takes the grace of God. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. And boy, that's difficult. Here's someone trying to destroy my life, trying to hate me, and I'm supposed to pray for them, love them, and do them good? Lord, I can't do that. By God's grace, you can. That's the only way. That's the only way. No, you can't do it in your own strength. No, our own carnal mind doesn't think like that. We have to be walking with the Lord to love in this way. You can't do it on your own. It takes the Spirit of God giving you compassion. It comes from a heart filled with love and compassion, that heartfelt love that comes out and loves even those who hate you. Now, that's hard to do. I'll be the first one to confess it. Paul says, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men. You know, Christ said, what are you different than the Pharisees or the publicans? If you love them to love you, don't they do the same? See, we're to love those who don't love us. We're to be long-suffering. We're to be patient. What are we showing? We're showing the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. Don't we all have a lot of growing to do? I do. These are areas of our life that we need to grow in. And that's why you go through trials. That's why you have experiences. God is developing your character. He's teaching you how to love those around you. And we can only learn that by our own experiences and by the trials we go through. It's hard to love those who never love you back. And you know who sometimes the hardest thing is? Is when you give your life so much to your children, you love them so much, and they don't even show any love back to you at all. Now, that's difficult to deal with. But it's true. It happens in life. This generation today seem to have lost something when it comes to family love. They don't know how to love back the mother and father. And that's sad. Love is two ways, you know. And those who are born again should have no problem with that because they have the love of God in their hearts. So remember, when your children are like that, and I don't believe sometimes they realize what they're doing, children, when they don't show love back. They get complacent. They get indifferent. They got their own world. They got their own problems. They got their own things they're dealing with. They forget to show love back to mother and dad. But it's needed. Mother and dad need to know, too, that their children love them and respect them. And sometimes things that divide a family is what? Christianity. Christianity. People who are not born again, now you have to take this. This is a fact of life. People who are born again, walking with God, the image of God is in their life. They're walking close to God. Those who are not born again, even if it's our children, they hate what they see. Natural man does not love the image of God, the things of God, the ways of God. They don't. And they oppose it, and they'll back up from it. So if even our children, if they see Christ in us and they're not born again, they're not going to want to be around us. We have to face reality in some of these things and realize we are in a spiritual warfare, beloved. It's a battle. But even in our families, every individual here in this church today has a battle going on in their families. I do, you do. And we, each one here, if we're born again and concerned, we're praying for our family members, praying for God to touch their hearts. Because He's the only one that can. A new commandment. A new commandment. We're to love them as I have loved you. A new standard for Christian love. Peter says, for even hereunto, 1 Peter 2:21, were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. Are we following the steps of the Lord? Now, if you love the Lord, you are obeying the Lord and you're following his steps, his teaching. Very simple. Now, Paul said we're to grow in grace and in knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And why we read the Word of God? That we can learn the things of God and that we can follow the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ. What's one of the first things that we're to follow Christ in? Now, here we come down to where we live. Self-denial. It's not easy to deny yourself. A person is a believer. But what he won't deny himself, or she won't deny herself, to follow Christ in baptism. Using that as an example. Satan comes in and catches away the Word of God so people don't take it seriously. And they forget about it. But you're to deny yourself if you're a believer and say, my responsibility, if you're ashamed of me and of my words, I should be ashamed of you. You're talking this adultery and sinful generation. Don't be ashamed of the Lord. All of us. To those who are believers who have not followed the Lord, don't be ashamed to follow the Lord. Count it a privilege. We who are believers, who are members of the congregation, we should be a privilege that we have the opportunity to share the love of God with one another, to be there for each other. Paul says, for you know the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. For even Christ pleased not himself. Romans 15:3. Please not himself, but it is written, reproach to them that reproach thee fell on me. And Paul said this in Philippians. For all seek their own and not the things which are Jesus Christ. How many of us are really living for Jesus Christ? So denial. Take up that cross and follow me. Are we following Christ in self-denial? By his resisting and overcome the prince of darkness, we should follow Christ in that area of our lives too. Jesus said, it says in 1 John 3:8, he that committeth sin is of the devil. Now that's talking about he who habitually sins and sins every day is of the devil. Now, he's talking about habitual sins. It's not a once and occasion sin, but those who walk, the manner of their life is sinfulness. Disobedience, 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 disobedience. They're not a child of God, according to the evidence. He that committeth sin or practiseth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. He came to destroy the works of the devil. 1 John 2:14, I have written unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. Now, how did the young man overcome the wicked one? Because the word of God abideth in them. That's how can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto, according to thy word. James's chapter 4 gives such wonderful directions to God's people. Verse 7 says, submit yourselves therefore to God. The first thing we're to do, the word submit means to get under. To get under what? The authority of God. In other words, when you're obeying the commandments of the Lord, you are getting under, you're submitting to His Lordship, you're under His authority. That means you love Him. That's an evidence of love to the Lord. First, you submit yourself, therefore, to God. Secondly, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Most people want to resist the devil without submitting, Brother Dayton. But you have to submit and then resist the devil. And then he says in verse 8, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. What a promise that is. Draw nigh to God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and they will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Oh, thank God for 1 John 1:9. Confess, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to cleanse us from our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I'm grateful for that verse. There's not a day goes by that I don't sin in word, deed, or thought. Sins of omission or sins of commission. We need cleansing daily in our lives. And don't feel that you're by yourself. Sometimes I know you feel, there's no sinner like me. I feel like that times in my life. How could the Lord love me? He came because He loves sinners. He didn't come to call the righteous to repentance, but who? Sinners. Sinners. In the next verse, after being, he said, be afflicted and mourn. There's a sign when God's dealing with you. Sometimes He chastens us and He deals with us as sons and daughters. He afflicts us. Why? To bring us to repentance, to teach us that we're going the wrong direction. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. So when He humbles you, humble yourself, what happens after we humble ourselves? Remember when the Lord, Peter cried out, Lord, I'm walking on the water. And then he saw the waves and everything. He started to sink. In our personal lives, that happens. And when we humble ourselves, say, Lord, without you, I can do nothing. He reaches down and lifts us up. Hallelujah. You're never out of touch with the Lord. When you think He's not there, He reaches down and will lift you up. He may give you comfort in your heart, strength in your soul, give you faith to believe His Word. In some way, the Lord's going to lift you up out of your burden. Not only He can do that. What a wonderful thought that is. And here's a verse in verse 11 that we apply to Mount Zion. Take this in our church. This is something we're to obey. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. Now, we're to obey that. We should never speak evil against one another as a congregation. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if I judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. Let us be careful how we judge one another. You know, Christ gave the example in Matthew 7 about judging. Here's an individual as a log in his eye. And I'm going to go out and take that splinter out of Roger's eye. The Lord says, take that log out of your eye first, and then you can take the splinter out of your brother's eye. In other words, well, I need to deal with myself first before I worry about dealing with my brother. Now, the Bible does speak about helping one another. It speaks in Galatians, if a brother be overtaken in the fault, you which are spiritual, go into such a one, and considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. And Paul said, let him think if he stand, take heed, lest he fall. Never look down on a brother who has fallen or a sister who has fallen. They need our love and help, not our condemnation. We need to reach down and lift them up by the grace of God in us, realizing that could be me, that could be you that has fallen. Oh, beloved, compassion. We need to have the compassion of the Lord. And the only way we can have that, we need to pray that the Lord give us compassion and love one to another. Now we come down to another difficult part of love to the Lord, in which this generation needs this teaching. We need it. You need it. He loved not this world, system, or kingdom. Jesus was not of this world, and He loved not this world, kingdom, the sinfulness of the age. John says in 1 John 2:15, love not the world. Now, this is a commandment. This is not some advice to you and I. John is saying in the imperative mood, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Now, that's where we have to really ask ourselves the question, am I loving the world? Am I loving the things of the world? In other words, we're living for the world and the things of the world and have no time for God. That's all we think about. The world, the world, the world, the world, things of the world. Is that what we're living for? We all have to ask ourselves that question. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. I think that's being, if a person is loving the world, God's love is not being manifested to us. God's withdrawn his fellowship from us. We're loving the world. It says over there, you adulterers if you're friendship of the world, he's talking about spiritual adultery. Spiritually. Colossians 3:2, this is one of Roger's favorite verses. Set your affections on things above and not on things of the world, of the earth. Isn't it difficult to do that? I find it sometimes it's difficult. Sometimes we got our mind on things of the earth to the point where we forget about the things in heaven. You know, Christ says, lay up treasures in heaven. Are you living your life in a daily so that you're laying up treasures in heaven? But we think about my treasures over here in Bank One, my 401k, my this and that. We are laying up all kind of treasures in earth. What about heaven? You know, if God has blessed us with physical wealth, it should be used in the kingdom of God. Lord, what will I have me to do? You've given me all this wealth. How can I use it in your kingdom and for your service? Now, we each one have to pray that. There's no certain criteria how you to do that. It would be if we walk in the Spirit and we're led by the Spirit, God can burden your heart to give to a certain individual or a certain church or a certain need there is. We walk close to God, He will burden us to do these things. That's why it's important. I'm going to leave that love in the world because I know none of us here have that problem. We'll go to the next thought. He is to be followed in doing good. The Lord did good always. Healing, teaching, living an example, praying to His Father. He was always doing good. There's a verse which has a lot of meaning to us. Acts 10:38. You go through the book of Acts, how many of you have noticed this verse? How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, talking about the man, Christ Jesus, with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all of them that were sick. How did he do these things? How did he do good? Through the Holy Ghost and through his power. How can you and I do good? Depending on the Holy Spirit. Jesus says, if I go away, I will send you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. How am I to obey the commandments of the Lord? How can I love you? How can you love me? Through the ministry of the Holy Spirit empowering us and shedding abroad that love in our hearts, teaching us and bringing these things to our remembrance, reading the Word of God. The love, our love grows more and more. He teaches us how to love one another. Doing good. Doing good. If we do good one to another, remember the Lord said, if you should give a glass of water into one of my disciples, you shall in no wise lose your reward. You will be blessed. We don't do it for that reason, but God will bless us for doing good to the saints of God. He remembers those things. A book of remembrance. How wonderful that is as we think about that. I can see now I won't finish the sermon this morning, but we'll take it up again. Ephesians 5:9 says, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. And all goodness, the fruit of the Spirit, is seen by doing good. Doing good. You see that person, boy, that person's always doing something for somebody. That's the way we should be thought of. We should have that spirit. But that we're doing good to somebody, helping somebody, doing good to people. People need someone to show them love and goodness in their life. And don't forget your own family. Sometimes those closest to us we don't love. We don't show it the way we should. I'll put it that way. Love your family, those close to you. That's what I said earlier. And sometimes parents don't love their children as they should. Now, sometimes love is tough. It hurts to love. When you have to tell the children the truth concerning their life sometimes, they don't want to hear that. But if you love them, you've got to tell them the truth. You continue this way, it's going to bring you down. It's bad for you. God will chasten you. He's going to punish you. He's going to deal with you. I'm telling you this because I love you. I know the consequences of sin. Sin hardens the heart. And beloved young people, parents try to instruct you to help you not to go through what they went through. We learn by our own experience in life. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will affirm with our firm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto man. It's profitable to do good things, to do good works. Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Works is for the glory of God. It glorifies God. Paul says in Romans 12:11, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit. That word fervent means burning in your spirit, serving the Lord. We should be filled with the fire of God, with zeal to serve the Lord, with a grateful heart for serving Him. Oh, how we should be following the Christ in this area of our lives. He is to be followed in His communication. Now, we all have to deal with this, especially with younger generation. Peter says in 1 Peter 2:22, who did no sin. Now, we cannot follow Christ in that area. We're to hate sin and to reject it, but we can't live without sin. Neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Are we willing to suffer for Christ's sake and commit ourselves to the Lord? Lord, you deal with this situation. I'm not going to take personal revenge. Oh, sometimes we want to just, I'm going to give them a thing or two in my mouth. I'm going to tell them what I think. Oh, it's hard to maintain that. When that burning spirit of revenge comes up in us, oh, beloved, only the grace of God can restrain it. But Christ is a good example for that. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. When you're talking to someone who doesn't like you or who's trying to destroy you, you need to pray how what everything you say the right thing. Now, we don't always do these things, but we need to realize that. And Paul said in Ephesians, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. It's important how a young man talks in front of other people or a young woman. Some of the vile language today you hear come out of young people, even among children, among friends, among their family, it's disgusting, to say the least. There's no respect. There's no morals. There's no honoring God. There's not even honoring the family anymore. People say anything and everything they want like there's no moral conduct anymore. It shows the state of decline this nation has come to. It shows the state of our homes, the state of people, how people have become so corrupt they have no respect for morals, no respect for families, no respect for God. That's the age in which we're living. He goes on to say, but that which is good to the use of edifying, everything I say should be said to edify and build up, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. It's important what you say. We can fly out the mouth in a moment and say something that we regret the rest of our lives. You can't recall words back once they go out. There's other things I have to bring out, but we'll save them to another time. But these are some of the ways that we can follow the Lord in His love. If you love me, the head of the church saying to you and I, Mount Zion, not those outside Mount Zion, we are here. If you love me, Mount Zion, keep my commandments. And that should be our heart's desire. And I know each one of us, and I know that's Dave's desire for the church, and Roger's desire, and our desire is that we would love the Lord by our obedience. May we pray. Our gracious and loving Father, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy. May you bless us, strengthen us. Lord, how we need the love of God in our hearts, how we need it shed abroad in our hearts. Oh, Father, we have you as an example, the Lord Jesus, an example, the Holy Spirit. Puts the love in our hearts that we need to love one another. How many times? Over and over and over. To love one another. Love one another. Love one another. It's a new commandment to love one another as I have loved you. What a great commandment that is. And Lord, teach us here at Mount Zion that we can love one another as you gave us commandment. In Christ's name we do pray. Amen. Does someone have a song in closing?